Pat Patterson and NASCAR Hall of Famer Ray Evernham drop by on our final preseason edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Welcome to our final preseason racing edition of Fast Talk. I'm Doug Rice. It's been a lot of fun over the last month and a half interviewing folks from the NASCAR media world, getting their backstories about how they got into this job to begin with, and also maybe some prognostication on what they expect to have happen in 2026. It has been a very busy news cycle during the offseason, capped off by an announcement about a week ago that NASCAR would be returning to the Chase format, essentially the same format they had about a dozen years ago. Let's see how that works. The amazing thing has been the public reaction has been very positive across the board. The very popular Jeff Gluck poll had it at 80%, and that is so rare that people go 80% for one thing in any poll that he has done. So it looks like they're off to a good start. We have so far interviewed some very high-ranking media people, including Lee Diffie of NBC, Mike Joy from Fox, and Adam Alexander, who anchored the Amazon coverage and the TNT coverage. Wendy Venturini dropped by along with Jamie Little. Doug Turnbull was on the show. Danielle Trotta, Larry McReynolds, Holly Kane, Alex Hayden from the Motor Racing Network have all been on. So we have interviewed a lot of luminaries from the NASCAR media world and gotten their inside stories about how they got into this and what they think is going to be going down in the upcoming season of 2026. On today's show, we wrap up with a person that I've known probably as long as anyone that works in the NASCAR media bubble, and that's Pat Patterson. I've known Pat before I ever started with Performance Racing Network way back in 1988. He has been influential on the TV side, and now he's become somewhat a radio legend. You can hear Pat on the PRN broadcast throughout the year, and he is also a mainstay on the SiriusXM NASCAR channel. So a chat with Pat about what he thinks is going to be happening this year. I always put a lot of stock in what he's got to say. And then our final interview of the preseason will be NASCAR Hall of Famer Ray Evernham. Of course, Ray is best known as being the crew chief for Jeff Gordon during those championship runs and putting that number 24 car on the map. Then Ray made the transition from that to being a very successful car owner, bringing Dodge back into the NASCAR fold. And then he moved on and was a big-time media personality. And now he's trying to bring back the International Race of Champions. So Ray Evernham, a guy that never sits still. Fascinating story from Ray. And we talk a little bit about the NASCAR landscape and what he expects to see in the upcoming year. So enjoy the next hour as we visit with Pat Patterson, radio legend and NASCAR Hall of Famer Ray Evernham, on this very special edition of PRN's Fast Talk.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. That's 800-890-5957.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
These cars
cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Logano back across the stripe. Now Zane Smith putting on some pressure.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon at turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs. Which way is it going to go?
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Looks like Austin Cindric is involved. Denny Hamlin. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line.
Chase Elliott has battled at the front all night long. He's won the war. Chase Elliott has just punched his ticket to the playoffs.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you, guys, so much.
This is PRN.
I'm Doug Rice, and welcome to our final off-season show that features our NASCAR media interviews. At the back end of this show, we'll be talking with Ray Evernham. Ray is kind of a media guy, but he's also done everything else in the business. So we'll wind up chatting with Ray Evernham and find out what's going on in his world. But we'll start off the show today with a longtime broadcaster, actually a guy that preceded me at the Performance Racing Network and has been at this game a long time, currently is regularly heard on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio and the Performance Racing Network, straight from Arizona, Pat Patterson. Pat, thanks a lot for making time, buddy.
Happy New Year, yeah. Doug. Happy new season to you. I hope that hope you're well, and as always, a pleasure to be with you.
Looking forward to the next few minutes here chatting with you. You and I have spent a lot of time commiserating over the years. Well, Pat, as we get ready to do this, the theme could be what was old is new again. We'll start with the new, I guess, new points outlook, new championship format that NASCAR announced recently, saying that they were basically going back and reviving the chase. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, Doug, that when the conversations and the drum was beaten as loudly as it was over the past year about, you know, things that apparently fans didn't like about the way we did stuff. And I'm talking about playoff points and elimination races and this, that, and the other, to too many different things to name. I think that it finally kind of came to a head where NASCAR needed to look at it and say, okay, if we changed it to something, what would it be? And of course, that opened up the can of worms for everybody to go, well, it could be this, it could be that. And Mark Martin had his opinion about, well, it could be just nothing at all except racing 36 races and whoever's got the most points, it wins. We all know that we serve a lot of masters. Television's a big one. Media's a big one. The racetracks are a big one. Find some sort of happy medium / balance. And I think that what they chose was a reasonable choice. You still got 16 guys. You still got a regular season. You get a little more points for the guy who wins each week. Celebrate that. A little less of this whole focus on, hey, you know, he finished 15th, but he's still in the blah, blah, blah. You and I have said this many times to each other. If it takes more than about 60 to 90 seconds to explain what we're doing, you probably went too far in trying to trick it all up. So how will it change things? Well, that's yet to be seen. But the fact that they made a change, okay. You and I both played through all these different systems through all these different years. I don't see how this one hurts the product.
Well, Ryan McGee from ESPN reportedly said during one of their early meetings, if it takes longer than a 20-floor elevator ride to explain it, it's too complicated. And I think Ryan may have nailed it right there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, exactly. And I think that's well said. And I think that, you know, again, everybody's toughest job in this business is to identify, you know, what's our core group of people? Where is our core group of fans? And I don't know that I've ever had anyone, you know, be able to actually identify that to me in such a manner where I would go, oh, okay, so I know who our core fan is. I don't know if I know that.
I will say this about this past year, and I realize two of the champions won it by using the system that they played in. That's all that they had to play. I get that. But with Connor Zilich and Denny Hamlin not being the champions, for me, I'm speaking just for me, something felt a little bit hollow, especially for Zilich, who won a third of all the races, and a guy that won two walks away with the big piece of hardware.
You know, one of the things that I'm glad they've eliminated, and I think it warranted elimination, was the win and you're in thing. And I think that the whole win and you're in thing became the wave that everybody tried to ride, you know, to satisfy their sponsor obligations, to satisfy their bonus programs as drivers or crew chiefs or whoever's getting bonuses for whatever, you know, a win meant to each one of these guys and teams. Getting rid of that, I think, structurally, strategically changes perhaps how teams will approach the chase for the championship this year. You don't have to win every week. You don't even have to challenge hard for a win, thinking that, man, if I don't get this done, here I am. I'm second with a half a lap to go, and I got a chance to move a guy. And I heard Dale Jr. and other people say this. Chase Briscoe said this. I don't have to be a a-hole to accomplish what the mandate is, which win and end. So I think that is one of my biggest takeaways from this. Eliminating that, I think, could, in fact, change the way we race on the racetrack.
Well, Pat, we saw a couple of examples. One, Josh Berry won out at Vegas early last year, was never a contender, had some decent races after that, but was dreadful the rest of the year. Yep. And then Bubba Wallace wins the Brickyard. And instead of celebrating the fact that he won one of the biggest races in the history of the sport, they're all talking, well, he's in the playoffs.
Right.
And we eliminate those two things now.
Right. Yeah. No, and it goes back to, again, listening to things people said when this was all announced. You know, guy that wins the Daytona 500, hey, he's in the playoffs. It's the Daytona 500, okay? It's Darlington, it's Bristol, it's Charlotte. I mean, there are marquee races that you want in your career stat folder to have said, I did this, whether I got in a playoff or whether I ran for the championship this year or whatever. And I do like the idea that maybe we emphasize that a little more.
Pat, one of the other things that we found out shortly after that, we could do the whole 20 minutes on this. I'm happy with it. And apparently in most of the post announcement polls, most fans seem to be really pleased with this. I know there were diehards on the 36 race season thing, but it seems like NASCAR got to a pretty good spot with this.
I hope so. I mean, I obviously I love it. You love it. Well, you know, we've been doing it a long time and I want to see it be successful. And, you know, of all the things that has occurred over the last 90 days, some are just tragic and the most terrible things in the world. But the one thing, Doug, that I keep waiting for and I keep wanting somebody to step up to the microphone and address it and, you know, and the fact that we keep walking around this is how are we going to put more people in the grandstand? And I see everybody with all kinds of ideas. Here's how we're going to go race and, you know, here's how the charter thing's going to work and this and that and the other. And we keep running past the one glaring thing that just, you know, really bugs me. We got to sell seats.
I feel like, Pat, we fell into the trap, and all sports do this, of praying at the altar of television, which pays a lot of bills, and forgetting that the working men and women want to come and see this sport in person. Because that's where you develop your diehards. Everybody that listens to Sirius XM NASCAR has been to races because that's how you get hooked. Right. And you're right. I don't know what the magic formula is, but I think at the end of the day, everybody that comes almost always becomes a fan.
Well, here's a fact. Bob Pockrass isn't going to make a hero. Jeff Gluck isn't going to write enough things to make somebody a hero. None of these quote unquote media types that are out there, you know, week in and week out covering this, and I salute them for the work that they do and the people that they are. But here's the bottom line, Doug. You know, we don't have superstars because everybody is their own media today. Everybody is their own media. I'm on X. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Blue Sky. I'm on this. I'm on that. You know, I got people that work for the company constantly trying to find something to get me above the noise so that people will recognize me more. They'll come to the racetrack because they want to see me race. And I don't know how you fix that.
No, I don't either. And you know, Denny Hamlin is a great example of what you said. He is the most busy guy on the planet, and a big part of it is his Actions Detrimental podcast, which he does religiously, an hour after each race every week. And you can't just – television does not have a superstar. That's a problem that we talk about all the time. We don't have in this sport, and you can't create one. It has to happen. It has to happen organically. By the way,
they had to have two superstars that haven't driven cars in 10 years show up to make sure that this formula got stamped approved. We're waiting for the Mark Martins of the world and the Dale Earnhardt Juniors of the world to stamp something to say, yeah, that's the right path to go on. And I'm sitting here going, you know, who are we supposed to be following here? Am I supposed to still be following Mark Martin and Dale Earnhardt Jr.? Or am I stepping into a time frame now where I'm supposed to pick somebody that I don't really know who's out there teeing it up every week?
Well, it was not by accident that Mark Martin and Dale Earnhardt Jr. were on the front row of the presser to announce the new format. You're absolutely right. Speaking of heroes of the past, we're going to touch on that next here as we continue our conversation with Pat Patterson.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
When NASCAR hits Dover Motor Speedway, get ready for all-star intensity at the Monster Mile, May 15th through 17th. See the sport's biggest names battle it out. It's more than a race, concerts, autograph sessions, tailgates, and nonstop action all weekend long. Experience NASCAR the way it's meant to be, live and in person at Dover. Get your tickets now at DoverMotorSpeedway.com. That's DoverMotorSpeedway.com.
I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
My fiancé is a veteran.
I did tours in Korea, Germany, and Bosnia before I got injured.
When Yusuf got out of the military, he needed help getting his disability benefits.
Luckily, DAV came to the rescue. They fought for me the same way that I fought for my country.
Every year, DAV provides life-changing support to more than a million veterans.
My victory is never giving up and finding more ways to serve.
He's pretty amazing.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me for another great episode of Fast Talk. We have NASCAR Hall of Famer Kurt Busch. What does a much older, wiser Kurt Busch want to tell Carson Hocevar?
Well, let's bust out all the VHS tapes, and you can watch all my mistakes. Try not to do those, Carson. I like what he's doing. He's learning, and he's putting his time in up front.
That's Fast Talk right here on PRN. Welcome back to Fast Talk, talking with veteran broadcaster Pat Patterson. Pat, we were talking about legends and people endorsing products. After a 20-year absence from the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, we have found out that in February, in Daytona, Tony Stewart will hop into one of these brand-new Ram trucks for Colleague Racing and make a very rare NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series appearance. What's your thoughts about Smoke returning to the racetrack?
Mopar must need something over on the drag race side. Why? You know, I think, number one, Tony Stewart is a great race car driver. Okay, to best of my knowledge, he hadn't run a truck race in 10 years. But Ram and Dodge obviously are very, very important over on the drag race side of things. So do me a favor, Smoke, and come down and make some noise for us at Daytona. Seems perfect to me.
I think it's perfect, too, for Colleague rolling out this new Ram 5 truck team that they're going to have. And what better way to generate attention than put a 3-time NASCAR champion who is as popular now as he ever was back in your truck. I feel like from a PR move, and you talked about putting butts back in the seats, they may have a decent crowd for the truck race in Daytona. Tony Stewart will move the needle. I have no doubt about that.
Well, I don't either. I have zero doubt about it. And, you know, we need to get Mark Martin to tee it back up again. And we need 3 or 4 more of these guys throughout the season to, you know, get in a cup car I think that's great. And I think, you know, where I'm coming from, it's great for that promotion, for that stunt. Okay. And all sports need stunts to propel them forward. And I get all of that, you know, but at the same time, I go back to where I was before he went to the break. I need butts in seats. I need them in Atlanta. I need them the next race. And then I need them at COTA. And then I need them at Phoenix. And then I need them at Vegas. And I don't think Tony Stewart's available for all those races. So if we got to have a stunt every week to have something to talk about, great. But you know, and I wish him well. I hope he has a good time. I hope he wins the race.
I worked for Humpy Wheeler for a long time. And for part of that time, I was the advertising manager for Charlotte Motor Speedway. And the big thing that this was back when you did a lot of newspaper advertising and Humpy had to okay every ad before it went out. And I put some ads in front of him one time that showed grandstands that were empty. He didn't blink. He just slid them back across the table at me. No, we never show empty grandstands. And I went like, well, we don't have any pictures. He said, figure out a way to make it happen. He said, because people in the stands creates a sense of urgency. And if you don't believe that, watch college football. You know, the big games every Saturday have 75,000 people. And to create a sense of urgency for these races, even when I'm watching them on television, I don't need to see concrete and shiny aluminum. I need to see people. And that's a challenge, Pat. I don't know the answer. And I will say this. I don't think NASCAR has outpriced their marketplace as bad as some other sports. Good luck buying an NFL or an NHL ticket.
No, I agree with you. I don't think it's about the price. I think that the motivation to come to the racetrack has got to be, you know, has got to be something about, I want to see either this car race or I want to see if I can get to know or see the guys up close that are racing the cars. I need some compelling personalities that will, you know, be like, I need to see him do that next week. I need to be there next week. You know what I mean?
Pat, we've got a couple of personalities. And I talked to Ray Evernham about this in an interview that runs after this. And I think Ross Chastain's a big personality. I think Carson Hocevar could be, but Ray added the one addendum that they've not done, and that's win. You cannot be a big star just on having a personality. Noah Gregson gets the fan vote every year, and he's not come within a whisker of winning one of these races. Yeah. At some point in time, these guys that do create a pulse have got to win, don't they?
I think so. I think the validation that we have, the bar, if you will, is set at checkered flags. I think that you can't say I'm a successful NASCAR Cup driver, you know, if somebody looks back at you and says, well, how many wins you got? Well, I've finished in the top 5 6 times. It doesn't do it. You know, we split the field in half now. You got 16 drivers that can make the chase. And you basically got 16 drivers that aren't going to make the chase. So we've got a half and half here. You're either going to be part of the losing half or you're going to be part of the winning half. And you know, that can be somewhat polarizing, I think, when you frame it that way. And those 16 drivers that are leading the way up there, they need to be winners. They need to be guys that have won or are challenging for wins or are right there on the nose. I'm wondering, though, if what we're going to see this year is a little more like what Jimmy Johnson was able to do back when nobody wanted to talk about five championships and this, that, and the other. Are we going to have one guy that, because you don't have to win and be in, that's going to get a whole lot of wins, and maybe we develop a hero that way? Maybe it falls back and it actually helps us in the long run.
Pat, looking at this under this new format, I can almost tell you, as we talk now, and we're not out of January, 9 of the 11 drivers for the big three, Gibbs, Hendrick, and Penske, will be in the playoffs.
Sure.
I'll allow that 2 of them won't make it. So that's 9 of your 16 spots right there from those big three teams. You know, maybe one person from Hendrick and one person from Penske doesn't make it. But I'll go to 8 because I can see a Gibbs car that doesn't make it too.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. You know, and that's not different. That's not different. Go back in the 80s, go back in the 90s. You know, these same powerhouse teams were the ones that produced that top 10 seemingly year in and year out with very little variation. Maybe one, as you said, or maybe two has a bad year, et cetera. But we know who's going to be good.
Yeah, we do. I look at the organizations right now. For Hendrick, Bowman's the guy that's got to step up. If he's not part of the chase, that I think he's in trouble after this year. For Gibbs, Ty Gibbs, he hasn't shown it yet, but he's not in danger of losing a ride. And over at Penske, Austin Cindric. Those are the three from the big three that I could see could maybe not make the chase.
I don't disagree with you. I think they would be most vulnerable. But again, you know, are we gonna hire or fire them because of what they do or don't do on the racetrack? Or do we simply try to satisfy the sponsors who are on those cars? And if the sponsor's happy, then why do I get rid of the driver? You know, so I don't, you know, I agree with you that there are some people that should feel like this is a very important year for them as far as continuing on in this business.
I've been around this long enough to know that sponsors have affinity for drivers, and that there are some drivers, and some of them people you and I know really well, that kept their gig because the sponsors loved them without ever performing.
Well,
it's amazing.
Sponsors love team owners. And let's face it, everybody wants to be associated with winners. And there ain't any bigger winners that I know than Roger Penske and Rick Hendrick. You know, and you throw Joe Gibbs into that, and I'm not so sure that any of those sponsorships that they have, a lot of them because of business ties, but I'm not sure that any of those sponsors that they have are more concerned about the relationship with the driver. They're more concerned about the relationship with the owner.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'd never thought of it that way. Pat, what are you going to be doing this year? I know you're always busy, so what's going to keep Pat Patterson busy in 2026?
Well, as you mentioned, I'll be back on Sirius XM starting the Clash weekend and get things rolling with the Front Stretch, which is every Saturday and Sunday morning. And then we'll be with PRN. I can't remember the exact number, but a lot, you know, throughout this season and back up in the turns and having a good time with Brad and all of the gang. And we're going to miss you. We'll always love our Rice man. And we
appreciate
we know
that.
You'll be listening and be out there with us, but we'll be doing all of that. We've got a couple of our marketing sponsors or people that we work with that we will be working with throughout the season, but it's basically a pretty much a same old year for Pat Patterson. I'm so glad to just be here doing this, enjoying this and being part of a sport that I've loved for a long, long time.
Well, that's awesome. Pat, I'll hook up with you out in Vegas. I'm going to come out there and do the PA for the March race. So,
well, we'll have a good time as always. And Doug, wish you well. And thanks for having me on the show today.
Pat Patterson, thanks a bunch for your time right here on Fast Talk.
It's more than a rebellion. When your teen is slipping into drugs or alcohol, when social media and pornography consume their time and their mind, when depression and even suicidal thoughts cast a shadow over your home, as a parent, you feel powerless. There is hope. At Turnabout Ranch, troubled teens step away from the chaos and into a clarity of nature on a working cattle ranch. Care for horses, learn responsibility, build trust, and rediscover purpose. It isn't theory, it's real work. Real therapy, real healing. Families from across the country have found transformation right here, just when they thought hope was gone. If your teen is struggling with addiction, harmful online behaviors, even weight management, call right now and get the help you all need.
800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. That's 800-277-1650.
This is Christopher Bell, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. We are thrilled to have NASCAR Hall of Famer Ray Evernham join us on this edition of the show. Ray, thanks a lot for cutting out some time for us.
Thank you, Doug. Great to talk to you.
Ray, I know you were at a very special event in Davidson, North Carolina, just a few days ago. At this time, you were on the receiving end of a nice gift. Do you want to tell us what that was all about?
Yeah, the folks, Car Stars and Allstate and group, our good friend Debbie Robinson put together a donation to our Ignite charity in Davidson for young adults on the autism spectrum. And they got together and totally rebuilt a beautiful Jeep and donated that to the Ignite Center. And it's going to be great for transportation and things. And, you know, it's great to get donations like that. And it's great to see so many people in the automotive industry that are so generous. But one of the big things that something like that does for us is really create and generate awareness of exactly what autism is and people on the spectrum. So really thank that whole group of people. Just an incredibly generous offering for us.
Ray, can you elaborate a bit about what Ignite is and what it does in the community?
So Ignite is a clubhouse, a club, if you will, that for young adults on the autism spectrum, because when a person is on the autism spectrum and they graduate high school, there's really not a lot of places and things for them to do. And some of them may not be ready to enter the community. So we... in honor of my son, Ray J, who, when we realized that the people on the autism spectrum need a little bit of different communication, a little bit of different socialization, things like that, than other adults transitioning in the community, we created a clubhouse at Ignite with the Autism Society of North Carolina that helps with things like socializing, job resumes, using public transport, banking, it really just preparing them, help prepare them for life. And we've had such great success with finding jobs and having them do things together. And again, living on their own and driving cars and doing all the things that other people are normally prepared to do when they leave high school, but not so for everybody on the autism spectrum. And I want to be very clear saying autism on the spectrum, it's not a disability. I don't consider it a disability as much as a communication and social issue, and having people understand how much value that the young adults on this on the spectrum have to the community and what great people they are, just need to be communicated with a little bit different. And every time big companies get involved with something like this, the awareness just continues to go crazy, you know. And the tough part is more and more kids are being diagnosed as being on the spectrum. So that means 10 years from now, 5 years from now, we're going to have a lot more young adults on the spectrum, and we need to make sure that we're ready for this as this wave starts to happen.
Well, Ray, I can empathize with you on this. My grandson is on the spectrum. He is very high functioning on many levels. He is genius, and he is taking accelerated programs in school, but in other areas of his life, it's a challenge for him. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that you're doing something that speaks like it benefits the group of where he is right now, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this and wish you the best of luck and all the folks at Ignite and what you're doing right now.
Well, thank you very much, Doug. And as I said, it's, you know, the tough part is, you know, we're not really kind of centralized right now. You know, there's a lot of little things happening. Hopefully someday, some way we can find a way to all get centralized and do something in unity, you know, to help with these centers, you know, an Ignite type thing, certainly around the country. But right now, the main thing we can do is continue to raise that awareness in the hopes that we can grow. I said to somebody, you know, my dream, my goal would to be have all of the Ignite centers popping up around the country, like a fast food franchise, if you will, right? That to be able to help young adults, you know, using and sharing information, using, you know, best practices and all that stuff. But, you know, right now, getting that message out that about what autism is, how you can help, and how to communicate and just being aware of it is very, very important.
Well, thank you for what you're doing. And I hope one day you get the kind of awareness. And if this Fast Talk show that we're recording right now can help in any way, then I'm thrilled about that. Let's shift gears here. Forgive the pun. I saw a post that you were involved in that said you were looking for mechanics. Mm-hmm. What is going on in Ray Evernham's world that you need mechanics?
Well, our historic IROC program is really, really getting popular and growing. You know, we are going to be putting on an event at the new 1010th Motor Club there at Charlotte that Rick Hendrick and Marcus Smith have partnered up on. Incredible facility in conjunction with the Heritage event that will be April 9th, 10th, and 11th. They have come so far with what they've done there. And we will be putting on there'll be some practice with historic IROC cars and historic Indy cars on April 9th. And then on April 10th, there's historic IROC racing, IndyCar exhibitions, and then a Pro-Am where we brought in 10 pro drivers. We'll be competing with some amateurs in an autocross type situation and raising money for Speedway Children's Charity. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then on Saturday, there's a huge, Concours, much like that they do at Amelia Island or Pebble Beach, 100+ classic cars near the clubhouse, music, you know, fashion. We're going to have some celebrities there. And then on the upper loop of the race course, we're going to be putting on the Radwood, which is really cool. People dressed like the 80s, all cars from the 80s. So that's a big, big event. I'm lucky enough to be involved with all the folks at the Speedway there I'm kind of the executive director, which is just a lot of a title, right? But I enjoy working with them. But, you know, from the other side of things, our historic IROC series, restoring cars, maintaining cars, that just continues to grow. And right now, you know, we need a couple of good IROC crew members that can work in the shop and maintain these cars at the racetrack.
So, Ray, do you actually need mechanics that have wrenches and their own toolbox and they don't have to bring a laptop with them?
Well, you know, that's the point. We've got to have people that really can, you know, if you could get back in a time machine and go back and get my crew from the 24 team or my old, you know, my early Baby Ruth days, you know, those are the kind of people we need because these cars are 20 and 30 years old and they're not electronic fuel injections and, you know, engine management and whatnot. This is good, basic, simple racing. So what we need people to understand it, right? The whole thing about being a good race car mechanic or, you know, being a good race person is as much commitment and attitude and that willingness to understand and put in the effort. So, you know, I'd love to find some guys that have got all that computer knowledge, but it really the basic knowledge of mechanics, you know, putting a car together, understanding brake systems, electrical systems, fuel systems, you know, the basics of having putting a race car together without the benefit of all of those special tools that help you. And we really kind of want people who are of that old school where it was a small group and you had several jobs. You weren't a shock specialist or a bearing specialist or a, you know, driver specialist. You know, we need some old school guys. And I remember when Jay Signori did this, he grabbed a bunch of us from Wall Stadium and that IROC run was pretty good for all of us, but we were just a bunch of modified racers and ended up building IROC cars.
Hey, we're chatting with Ray Evernham, NASCAR Hall of Famer. We'll continue our discussion right after this.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper, rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and X. Protect your engine to the max with ZMAX.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
This is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. Join me each week for the True Reporters Roundtable, known as the Pit Reporters.
This is not what we're used to and accustomed to seeing. That, I think, with a backdrop, is why a lot of fans are a bit sour on Denny.
He still wants to play that role that now Denny has taken on, but him and the A-car haven't had the same success. You can't be the villain, and it doesn't really work as well if you're not winning, and Denny Hamlin is doing just that.
Check us out each week on the Performance Racing Network.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 Americans are sick of the divisions in our country? But there's one small step we can take to remember that we're still connected. All over America, strangers with different political views are coming together to talk about their lives, not politics, and discovering they actually have a lot in common. Because even if we don't see eye to eye, we can still talk, heart to heart. So let's talk, for a change. Learn more at takeonesmallstep.org.
Welcome back to Fast Talk as we continue our conversation with NASCAR Hall of Famer Ray Evernham. Ray, are you surprised at the response that you've got on bringing back the historic IROC cars and the interest in racing nostalgia, or is it what you expected?
I didn't know what to expect, Doug, because sometimes I think just because I'm passionate, does that really mean everybody else is passionate? And I think there's a group of people who are like me then. And I even think that some of the younger people look back at that nostalgia and say, think that's really cool. I'm pleasantly surprised and feel good that the IROC brand is still strong. Like it's really strong around the world, not just here in America, and that a lot of people respect what it did, and the cars have become kind of stars on their own. And when we show up at a racetrack and we bring in six or seven of the original IROC drivers, it's pretty exciting. One of the biggest days they ever had at Lime Rock, and again, one of the biggest Saturdays they ever had at the Rolex Monterey reunion. And we've got a great list of original IROC drivers that are going to run at the 10 Tenths racetrack in April.
This 10 Tenths deal, and I've had the pleasure of being over there last year for an event that you referenced. I'm not sure that the racing public is aware of what's next door to Charlotte Motor Speedway. And I'm not trying to pimp for Marcus Smith and you guys, but it's a pretty
That's
special
okay. Go ahead,
venue that
pimp.
you've been.
That's a, go ahead, pimp.
Glad to. Glad to. But you're very much involved in this.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm involved from kind of a different level. There are a lot of great people, a lot of great people that at SMI and at Hendrick that are working together, which is honestly pretty. It's been pretty incredible to watch Mr. Hendrick's folks and Marcus Smith's folks working together. I mean, I look at this and think, man, it's something really cool for me to be, another one of my part-time jobs. I happen to have like 17 or 18 part-time jobs anymore, but it's a beautiful facility, and it's a lot of it is the future of people owning high-performance cars and bringing a different a different kind of a culture to the automotive world, if you will. So it's a very technical track, very technical. There's two loops, it can run forwards, backwards. They've done a really, really neat job, but a beautiful, beautiful clubhouse. And last year we had the historic Trans Am cars there, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun to watch them. There's something going on over there about every day. And with Marcus Smith's vision of creating a Pebble Beach, Monterey, that whole West Coast car week and bringing that here to Charlotte, it's really pretty neat because I don't know of any other footprint in the country that has everything that'd be one-stop shopping like the property they have over there at Charlotte.
I kind of chuckled a moment ago when you said Concord, North Carolina, and Pebble Beach in the same sentence. I do have a couple of quick questions about the NASCAR world. Over the last few years, we've seen a couple of drivers come in and make a big splash, but it's almost just changed the name between Ross Chastain and Carson Hocevar. Oh, they're running over everybody. They're a menace. We gotta reel them in. And how would Ray Evernham handle a driver where everybody's saying, you need to put a harness on that guy? What's your thought on that?
Look, this is just my feeling, right? So if you're going to
Right.
ask my opinion, you're going to
I'm
get,
asking your opinion.
and
You know
not
what, Ray?
everybody
You're
would
in
like it.
the Hall of Fame now. Say what you want to.
I don't say anything either one of those guys have ever done that they need to be harnessed. Okay?
Okay.
Like, I'm a firm believer in characters and personality. It takes good guys, it takes bad guys, it takes polarization in the grandstand to create excitement, to create people wanting to go. Some people are going to be loved, some people are going to be hated. People used to talk about Dale Earnhardt. Oh, he's this and he's that. Then the fans loved them and they hated everybody that was racing against them. The Gordon Earnhardt battle polarized. Allison, Pearson, Petty polarized. Nobody's going to be happy. A large part of if when you look back, the controversy. Now, I think that we've just become so. I don't know. We've evolved to a place where, racing's a tough sport, right? It's technical, but you know what? It's still what built it was the fact that it was about the characters. There was battles between the manufacturers, and there's battles between the drivers. So I think that we started to lose interest when it came all about censoring people like Tony Stewart and you know, not letting, you know, we have become too politically correct. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I don't want to go off to an extreme where we can just insult people and their beliefs and make it personal. But, you know, I've been I'm okay with two guys getting out and having each other by the collar and, you know, shoving each other around. And, you know, there's got to be a line drawn on how far you let that go. But that comes down to the sanctioning body and officiating. Like, look, how, you know, it's like hockey, right? You know, you let them fight. Just how bad you gonna let them fight?
Yeah.
And somebody's got to make that decision.
The Earnhardt Gordon battle, feud, whatever you want to call it, it was good for both of you guys, wasn't it?
It was fantastic, and it was fantastic for the sport. You know, and at the same time, when you look at back then, you know, and again, I don't want to be that guy. Oh, back then, it was so great. Okay, no, but what was the biggest difference that we had back then? We had Dale, and we had Jeff, who that super polarizing. But we also had Rusty, we had Mark, we had Dale Jarrett. You know, we had these other personalities that were really drawing people in. And as we grew, I think we became very worried about sponsor stuff. And, you know, I get it. And I appreciate the sponsor spending so much on the racing and believing in us. But we still can't let that whole fear of being politically correct on social media drive the personalities in the sport, because auto racing has always been looked at like a daredevilish type sport. And mm-hmm. to have a daredevilish type person that's going to drive a car 200 miles an hour, inches apart, those people are going to have strong personalities and plenty of ego. And sometimes it's okay to let that ego and personality come out.
Well, that sounds like a page out of my late boss, Humpy Wheeler's book, because he talked about that all the time. And I know you and Humpy spent a lot of time together.
Go back and look at Humpy's record, right? Humpy Wheeler was Humpy Wheeler and is highly looked at as one of the greatest promoters this sport has ever known, because he saw that stuff. And he saw, you know, Humpy saw those things grow from IndyCar racing in the 1960s all the way up through NASCAR. And then saw the level out. Now, again, who knows if we can fix the politically correct world, as I said, you know, going here or there. But if we're talking about racing, you know, and see somebody says to me, do you need to put a harness on Carson Hocevar? For what? You know, like, for what? You know what? If then people don't want to race against them, then, you know, like it, you know, I think that those personalities are very, very important to the sport, because some people are going to love it and some people are going to hate it. And that's what turns televisions on and sells tickets.
My personal belief, it's the number one thing missing in the game right now. And if Carson Hocevar and a couple of these young, I'll say kids, can bring that to the game, then we really need to welcome it. Ray, appreciate what you're doing with Ignite. Also look forward to the event at 10 Tent Speedway. And you know, I was thinking the day before we started this interview, this is a guy that you have covered a lot of ground. You escaped the Northeast. You came south. Somehow or another, you got teamed up with Jeff Gordon. You won a bunch of championships. You had a race team. You won a bunch of races. You were a media personality. And now you're reinventing IROC. You are a guy that is not standing still. My mom always used to say, if you want to get something done, find a busy person.
Well, and if you want to live long and happy, you got to stay busy. That's my opinion. And just one more thing on those two young guys. The only thing those guys need, they got to produce. You can't run your mouth and not produce.
Yep.
You got to produce. You get somebody that's winning races and runs their mouth a little bit, I think it's great. I think that what Denny Hamlin did by saying, I just beat your favorite driver, was one of the best things we had happen all year. Now I'm off the box.
No, I love it. And I do. It is remarkable, the story, aside from the personal tragedy he just had to endure, the fact that Denny Hamlin, in the course of a year, went from being the guy that gets booed the most and jeered to a guy that almost universally people were sad when he didn't win the title.
Mm-hmm. And as I said, you know, and again, I respectfully, incredibly tragic what happened with Denny's family. And you know, all the politics aside, the court case and all that, I'm not even talking about any of that stuff. I'm just talking about at the track, he got it. He lit the fans up by saying that. And then it was exciting because half the people were just booing that did not want him to win, and the other half were cheering for him to win, and that was exciting again.
No, it was kind of a magic moment. Ray, always fun to catch up with you. Good luck. Have an awesome 2026, my friend.
Thank you. You as well, Doug. Always great to catch up with you.
Hey, listen, are you a 50-year-old person looking for term life insurance? Then you need to talk to Bob. Bob specializes in helping people find $1 million or more of term life insurance for a couple of $100 a month. Look, you need to know there's a price war in the term life insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call Bob and he'll shop and see how much money he can save you. Look, this could be the last term life insurance policy you ever have. Your rates are guaranteed for the next 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. And if you're a smoker or your health is not perfect, Bob has great rates for you too. So for $1 million of term life insurance coverage for a couple of $100 a month, call Bob right now. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741. 800-509-1741. That's 800-509-1741. Paid for by Term Direct.
This is Carson Hocevar, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm PRN's Alexis Erickson. Want to listen to PRN anywhere you go? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to live race broadcasts and have on-demand access to your favorite shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, Garage Pass, and PRN's At the Track. Download today to make sure you don't miss any of the action. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available on Apple App Store and Google Play. Find more information at goprn.com.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
Hope you enjoyed our final preseason edition of Fast Talk featuring Pat Patterson, who I find out just is a fascinating guy and somebody that I'm proud to call a friend over a long time, and Ray Evernham. Ray has great insights and wonderful opinions about what is going on in the NASCAR world. So good to spend some time there with Pat Patterson and Ray Evernham and all the other NASCAR luminaries that dropped by and let us chat with him during the preseason, and really enjoyed these shows. Now, back to your regularly scheduled programming. Next week, we'll be back in our studio full-time. It'll be myself, along with PRN's Alexis Erickson and Brad Gillian. We'll be looking ahead at the NASCAR kickoff of the season, the clash at Bowman Gray. Yes, NASCAR returns to the tiny racetrack in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. A little bit of a bull ring there where they will have the first event of the year. If you flash back to last year, very popular race won by Chase Elliott. And that got the season started. Then NASCAR immediately takes the next week off so they can do this thing called the Super Bowl, because you don't want to go up against that. Then the week after the Super Bowl, we'll be back with NASCAR in its purest form with the running of the Daytona 500. As all of these things are less than a month away, and really look forward to them. It's been a pleasure doing these shows, talking with the NASCAR media people and getting their stories, and hopefully you've enjoyed listening to them as much as I've enjoyed doing them. But we'll be back here very soon with our regular shows. We're going to put an emphasis on having a few more guests this year and try to expand our in-depth coverage of everything related to the NASCAR universe. And I especially have to thank Kemp Bernhardt who has produced each and every one of these shows. We've had a lot of fun putting them together. Hope you've enjoyed them. We'll be back next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.